Heavenly greetings in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, we are back here live and direct on the UOG.
Amen. Good morning. I miss you all. Here we are once again by the grace of God. God's time is the best. So our visit to South Africa was not an event. It was a private visit and to some act of charity and to visit our partners there. So please, it's not an event. So I tell everybody, when the time comes, we will let everybody know in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you for being there today.
We've received many questions. Thank you so much. People have been sending in their burning questions, things that have been concerning their minds, they're troubling their hearts, things maybe they don't understand. There was a question from someone saying, can you expound more on the scripture that says, my sheep hear my voice and they shall not follow another? Okay, I think that's in John, right? John 10.
Yeah, John chapter 10, yes. Can we read it?
Okay.
Yes, John chapter 10, start from verse 5, 6, 6 to 9. Start from verse 5, yeah.
Okay, so John 10 from verse 5. Okay, let me just start from verse 1 actually. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
Yes.
Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers.
Hallelujah. Now, how to recognize the voice of God? The testimony of Lily, that day when I was praying, many people were on the screen, on the board. But the Lord prompted my heart to pray for this person, Lily. I say, I want to pray for Lily. Why did God do this? God did that because God was responding to the prayer she offered in the secret place. If you want to distinguish the voice of God, it starts at the secret place of your home. Meditation. The more you meditate on the word of God, the more you reflect on what you have read, as Prophet Jesus taught us, the more you become familiar with the way God speaks. Let me tell you, sometimes because of emotional weight of trouble we face every single day, we become physically stressed, emotional stress, and that there's a veil in our mind. When you have too much trouble, your mind is clouded. So you cannot perceive the inner voice ringing in your heart. While God is speaking to you in your heart, but your mind, your understanding is veiled by trouble. So what do you need to do? You need to free your mind. You need a free heart and a free mind to distinguish the voice when it comes. Wow. How do we do that? Number one, you should approach God with a forgiving spirit toward others.
Remove every weight on our spirit.
Remove every emotional weight in your spirit, in your soul. Forgive everyone. Your conscience needs to be washed. Your mind needs to be washed to perceive and understand that God is the one speaking to you. When you approach God, is the way we approach God. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 said, these people come to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. As she rightfully say, when you put your heart right before God, God listens to your heart first before your mouth. When you approach God for salvation's sake, because you want to know the truth and you pray in your heart, when God sees genuine seeker, sincerity in your heart, the Holy Spirit will come to your help. He's the one that helps you to recognize the voice of God. He's the one that prompts your conscience. Your conscience will ring. How can I say? Okay, if I call you, somebody call you, your phone rings, right? If you don't hear the tone, you will not pick the phone. If your phone is silent, you are distracted, you don't hear the ringing. Or your phone is busy, he cannot locate you. So your conscience and your mind must be free, ready to perceive the voice of God when it comes. When the voice ring in your heart, whether it is silent or not, the Holy Ghost will come and bring, get your heart in tune with God. He's the one that brings the conviction in your spirit that God is speaking to you. When the voice comes to your heart and your heart is ready, you will perceive it clearly. there is a strong conviction in your heart that tells you, this is God. When the voice comes, I can speak to you. When the voice comes, I will pray for you. When the voice comes, I say, this person, because I know God is directing me.
And it's not just to recognize and hear the voice, but to obey what the voice says. And that is why that conviction has to be in your heart. Because one thing is to hear. Another thing is to hear with our heart and actually act on what we hear. And that's why, in this illustration, Jesus said, the sheep follow him for they know his voice. They follow him. They don't just listen to the voice and stay there. They follow where the voice is leading them. And I think that's the key to our deeper walk with Jesus. Because how Racine is explaining, so many people ask us this question, how can I identify the voice of God? How do I know it's not my thoughts? How do I know it's the voice of God within me? Well, this is where it all starts. Jesus is a lot more concerned than we think about what we do in private, what we do in secret, what happens in our heart. If we get that sorted out and align our heart with the thoughts of God, with the words of God, then it'll be a lot easier for us to recognize the right voice and then also to follow what the right voice says. And I think that is what's causing so much confusion, is that we're listening to the wrong voice and following the wrong voice. So definitely blessing cannot follow.
So you have a role to play, getting your heart in tune with God. Your heart and your mind must be in tune to be able to recognize the voice when it comes. What you need to do to develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit daily. It's a daily work. When you have a child, a newborn child, after a while, he'll recognize the voice of his father and mother. He will never confuse it. When you train your mind, need to be trained to be educated by the word of God to be able to recognize the voice of God when it comes. That's the work of Holy Spirit. Okay, I use that example of Elijah. Elijah, God said to him in 1 Kings chapter 17, Lord said, hey, Elijah, stand up, go to the river Kerith and hide there. I will command the ravens to come and feed you there. God commanded Elijah to go there and ravens will feed him. Now, if you take that word to the letter, Elijah would have said, this is not from God. Because Leviticus said that ravens are impure animals. So how can God send an impure animal to feed me? No, it's not from God. No, but he was able to discern that this voice was the voice of the Lord. Why? Because you recognize the voice of God.
The same with Abraham.
The same with Abraham. The same with Ananias. When the dream came, sometimes God speaks to you in a dream. But if you recognize his voice, if you learn to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, your heart will be trained. Your mind will be trained. When the voice comes, you will not doubt it. There will be a strong conviction in your heart. Okay? When Saul wanted to go to Acts chapter 16, to China, Holy Ghost stopped him. He went to go to Bithynia. Holy Spirit stopped him. So he went to sleep. In the night, he saw a vision from a man from Macedonia. A vision in the night. The Bible says when they wake up, he concluded in his heart that this is God. So whether you receive a vision or you hear a voice, when the voice of Jesus rings in your heart will ring and you will know God is someone speaking to you.
So the question is not, is God speaking? The question is our heart listening?
Is you listening and recognizing his voice? Because God is speaking every single day.
God is always saying something.
Go to Job 33, verse 14. God is speaking to you. You say, I pray, God did not answer me. God answer you, but you did not learn to listen to the voice. Because you want the answer to come in a specific way, but the answer may come in a different way. God speaks in one way, in another. In a dream, in vision, or in word. In whichever way God is speaking to you. If your mind is set, you would know this is God.
For God may speak in one way or in another.
Mm-hmm.
Job 33, verse 14.
Yes.
Yet a man does not perceive it.
Man does not perceive it. So when someone heard the voice, it was God speaking to him. But he never knew. He thought it was man speaking to him. The problem we have to discern the voice of God is this mind, this mindset. This is the veil. That's why we need the Holy Ghost to help us to understand it. It is God speaking to us. When revelation comes to you first, the voice of God come. That's the work of Holy Ghost to work in your understanding. As Ruth tried to say before, revelation must come. But after revelation, where the Holy Spirit will try to bring understanding of that revelation. Holy Ghost will begin to shed the light in your mind, to remove that veil, to say, hey, it is God speaking. He bears witness to your conscience and to your mind with strong conviction. Once you understand that it is God speaking to you, your heart will ring, your heart will burn. Learn to listen to the testimony of your heart. Learn to listen to the testimony of your conscience. That's where God speaks, not in this brain. That's why when you have so much trouble, you are worried or you are angry, calm down. Go to the presence of Jesus. You need peace first.
In silence, truth can be discerned.
Absolutely. Yeah. Forgive those you need to forgive and come into his presence with a pure heart and a pure mind. When the word comes, your mind will ring. Holy Spirit will help you to connect to that voice. And he will bear witness to your heart that this is God. So, in whichever way God speaks to me, if I face you, I know God is talking to me. It never happened one day. It's a process of building that relationship with God. The more you hear and obey, the more something will enter you to build your confidence. This is God speaking. Learn to distinguish this voice, to learn his voice. And when the voice comes, it comes with peace of heart.
Every time we act on the word of God, something will enter our heart that will increase our assurance.
The voice of Satan will bring trouble and confusion. But the voice of the Holy Ghost will bring peace.
Exactly, because that's why every time we disobey the word of God, something will enter our heart that will increase our doubt, increase our fear, increase our worry. So the question is, are we acting on the word of God or are we ignoring the word of God in our lives?
Yes, so now you know yourself. When thoughts come, there are thoughts of your brain, there are thoughts from God. And there's a big difference between the two. When the voice of God comes, it comes here in your heart, in your spirit, not here. Sometimes you are so overwhelmed by this cloud, when the voice ring here, you don't recognize. That's why God will wait till you sleep. When you sleep and this brain is off, this computer is off, then your conscience is going to ring and God is going to give you dreams in the night. He can speak to you in the night, but when your heart is set, when your mind is set, like the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, they say, our heart was burning when he is speaking. When you learn to listen to the voice of Jesus, the voice of the Holy Spirit, your mind, your heart will agree deep inside of you that this is God. You have to practice the presence of God. You have to meditate, and that's what we do not do. Meditate in the word of God daily. Learn to develop your relationship with God. That meditation will remove the burden over your soul, over your mind. So when God speaks, you will know this voice doesn't come from here. It comes from here. You're able to discern. That's the work of Holy Spirit. Discernment, understanding. That's the work of Holy Ghost in your heart. That's why the Bible says, no one can say Jesus is Lord unless it's guided by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. And that's the reason why we have this university of God. This Bible, this word, is the only means to refresh your mind, to purify your heart. You can able to listen to the voice of God. Please, don't forsake his word. Meditate on it. Don't just read it. Meditate it. While you are meditating, something spiritual happening deep inside your conscience. The more the word develops in your heart, the more your conscience becomes sensitive. It will react. It will react. The testimony of your heart will say, hey, this is God. Now, when the message comes from here, it is instant. Message from here is a product of your reasoning. Oh, this thought came because you're thinking too much. But this one does not require your thought. It comes spontaneously in your heart.
Without any process.
Absolutely. If your mind is alert, you say, hey, this is God. Song will ring in your heart. A scripture will come. The voice may come any moment of the day, even if you are busy. Elijah was afraid in 1 Kings chapter 19 when they threatened to kill him by Jezebel. And he ran to the mountain of God to inquire from God. But when he came, God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? He said, oh, Lord, the children of Israel has forsaken your commandment and your law. They've broken down all your altars and they killed all your prophets. I'm the only one remaining and they want to kill me. That's why I run to you. God say, go back. That's good for you. God say, go back to the way you come. But before God said that, the earthquake came. Earthquake, can't you imagine? Earthquake, everything shaking. But the Bible says God was not in the earthquake.
Mm.
After there was a wind, they were breaking the rocks in pieces. The scripture says God was not in that wind.
Mm.
After a fire came, God was not in the fire. And the Bible says a still small voice came. When Elijah heard it, he entered the cave. That's the voice of Holy Spirit. That voice is still. It's not a memory. It's not an audio sound. It's a spiritual voice. When it comes to your heart and your conscience is ready, it will grab it immediately. This is God. It came without the process of thinking. It came from your heart directly.
So that's the voice of our shepherd.
That's the voice of the true shepherd, Jesus.
The still small voice.
It comes with peace of heart and mind. So please, the only way is to get your heart in tune with God. So when you pray, God answers and listens according to the state of your heart. What do you need to do? Learn the language of God. Learn to develop your relationship with the Holy Ghost by reading this Bible daily. That's why we give you daily Bible reading. Don't just read it. Read and meditate. We are preparing a lecture on you on the tabernacle. When the time comes, we'll talk about deeply on those things. You will realize that the will of God for you is not to take the bread and to throw it, but to eat it, to chew it, to discern, to understand, to give life to all your body. Now, your conscience, your mind, like your glasses, need to be cleansed, able to see through. No one can see through the veil without the Holy Spirit. No one can perceive that voice without the Holy Ghost. Nobody can understand without the Spirit of God. That's focus. So the testimony of your heart in the power of the Holy Ghost is the only way to recognize this voice is from Jesus. Holy Ghost will never witness to the voice of Satan, never. That's why you have trouble when you hear that voice.
Because Satan is the father of lies.
He's the father of lies.
So when he speaks, it's lies he's speaking. And the only way you can discern the truth is in the midst of your heart. Integrity can only be discerned. It can only be discerned deep within your heart. So therefore, if you are truly a sheep of the good shepherd, that means you recognize his voice and you don't follow the wrong voice. You don't follow the voice of lies. And many people who have started following the wrong voice, it's not too late to come back. To come back and repent and start following the voice of truth. Start following the still small voice, the voice of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ.
So I said to you when we were discussing earlier that silence is the way to the truth. Silence is the way to the truth. Be still and know I am God. Close your mouth. Keep quiet. Go to the secret place and listen in silence in your heart to recognize the inner voice when it comes. Truth, the voice of God, integrity cannot be proven intellectually. It can only be discerned. And discernment is your conscience. Your conscience is the only instrument God gives you to recognize the voice of God. And that conscience is the frequency of God. It will ring when it is God. When it is Satan, it will say, hey. That's the clear indication. If Satan speaks, your heart is troubled. But if God speaks, Holy Ghost will bring peace to your heart. He uses the word of God to bring peace into your heart. So when you pray, and his peace will take over. That's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4. Pray to God with supplication. And the peace of God will take your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So we're going to do a special teaching on it. But please, the answer is this one. Focus. Don't focus on the trouble. Focus on solution. Don't focus on darkness. Focus on the light. When you focus on the light and God, truth will come by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And there's one prayer point you gave in the last prayer. I think when you were in South Africa, you were saying that, you know, God, give me the grace to shut my mouth and open my heart. And I think many times, you know, the Bible says that we've wearied God with our words, words that are not of faith, words that are not born of the Spirit. So that's why the Bible actually advises us, let our words be few when we are in the presence of God. Because if we truly believe we're in the presence of God, let our words be few. Let our words be led by the Holy Spirit. In silence, that's when the truth is revealed. And then God will teach us how to pray. The Holy Spirit will give us utterances. The Holy Spirit will be the voice of our heart. So,
and one thing I want, when I say develop your relationship with the Holy Ghost, mean be ready to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Mm. That's the key.
Yeah.
Disciple mean dedication and discipline are the only way to recognize the voice of God.
To recognize and obey the voice of God.
You dedicate your heart to the word of God and you discipline your mind. When the word comes, it will refresh your mind. With the help of Holy Ghost, it will renew your mind to say, hey, this is God. And Holy Ghost give you conviction. Means dedicate your heart and your mind to the word of God. Mm. That's what disciples mean. Disciples will listen to the word of God, studying the word, applying the word every single day of their life. That's how they grew in faith. They grew in knowledge and understanding of the way of Jesus. Peter, go in Acts chapter 9. When the vision came of the impure animals, he rejected the vision. Why? Because he did not recognize the voice at the beginning. God spoke to him in dream, but he rejected it. But when the Holy Ghost spoke to his heart in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, his heart began to open. Yeah, Acts chapter 10, verse 19. When the Holy Ghost spoke to his heart, say, hey, this is the voice of God. And he went to the house of Cornelius without any hesitation. Why? Because he was disciplined to accept and recognize that voice. Hmm. When you recognize it, you have a sense of righteousness. That's what the Bible calls it. A sense of righteousness will bring awareness of self-knowing. Awareness of distinguishing the voice of God. Awareness of seeing the other side beyond the veil, that this is God. When you look at the person, a sense of righteousness will ring that this is from God, this is not from God. That's the gift of discerning.
Amen. Thank you. There was someone else that asked a question. Hello, sir. Please, what is the importance of sin?
The importance of sin. Sin is the most important thing in life. That's why Jesus came.
Yeah, and that's a thing that very few people ask about. So thank you for that question.
Thank you for asking that question. Because today, the issue of sin is taken for granted.
Mm-hmm.
We just believe you are righteous. Oh, hey, let's go. Sin is the issue. That's the reason why God sent his son to come on the cross to die for you and I. Because of sin, Jesus laid down his life to save you from sin. What is salvation? Salvation is to be set free from sin and its penalties. Sin is unrighteousness. It is unpleasing to God. It is to disobey the command of God. Let me give you the clear definition of sin. Sin is doing what is not right in the sight of God and failing to do what is right in the sight of God. Let me repeat. Sin is doing what is not right in the sight of God and, take note of and,
failing
to do what is right in the sight of God. That's where we all miss the mark. Thou shalt not kill. I never kill anybody. Thou shalt not steal. I don't steal. I don't lie. But Jesus said, love your enemy. Failing to do that is a sin.
Mm.
Pray for those who persecute you. Failing to do that is a sin. In God's commandment, you have positive and negative. God said, honor your father and your mother. I mean, failing to do it for God is recognized as a sin. Failing to forgive others is a sin.
Being because angry.
Being angry at others.
Being angry in your heart.
No one is righteous.
Is a sin.
That's why we have to understand this. Sin is a way of destruction. Sin is a way of, oh my God, of destruction. Satan can do nothing except through sin.
Mm, it gives him legal right over us.
Through sin, he attacks through sin, he steals through sin, as he does.
Mm.
But glory be to God, once you are saved, Jesus said, whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. Meaning you are free from the law of sin and death. Means you do not practice sin, though you can make a mistake. Take note. You do not practice sin means your conscience is there. If you miss the mark and you get angry because of the flesh, your heart will disturb you. Holy Ghost will convict, oh, this is bad. You have to say, Lord, I'm sorry, for your heart, the peace to come again in your heart. If you miss the mark, you do wrong because the weakness of your flesh. But the Bible says when we come to God, we repent. That's the believer. When you do something wrong, you realize it, you ask God for forgiveness, and you continue the journey with God. But sin is the greatest enemy we have. One of the biggest thorns is temptation to sin. It's the greatest thorn in our flesh. That's the weapon Satan uses against anybody. If you keep yourself from sin, it cannot touch you. It cannot harm you. I'm telling the truth. If you keep yourself from sin, you have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, how to do what is right in the sight of God? No man can do what is good without the help of the Holy Spirit. No man can say no to sin without the help of the Holy Spirit. So the question is, we need to be strong and alert to avoid the poison of sin. It poisons your heart.
It makes what make our soul sick.
But glory be to God, there is the antidote to sin. You know the antidote to the poison of sin?
To walk in the Spirit.
To walk in the Spirit. The best antidote to the poison of sin is to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit, you must be in the Spirit. Mean you must examine everything you hear in the light of God's word. Mean before you rush to speak or to act, pray and ask Holy Ghost to reveal you the mind of God in that matter. When God reveals you his purpose, Holy Ghost will tell you God's position in the matter, what to do, what is right, and then you will never sin against God. When you are led by the Spirit of God, you do what is right. He will inspire you. He will give you expression. He will give you strength to forgive. He gives you strength to love. He will guide you in the way of the Lord. Jesus was slandered. Jesus was embarrassed. But the Bible says he remained silent. He was led by the Spirit of God.
Because the truth was ignored.
Absolutely. Yeah. He remained silent. So mean you have defensive and offensive weapons of righteousness against sin. That's what the Bible says. Defensive weapons? What is a defensive weapon against sin?
The sword of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit. Mean love is your protection against hatred. Humility is your defense against pride. We need Holy Ghost to have humility and love. So when you are tempted with injustice, your flesh will not react and begin to fight back. The battle is the Lord. It's the battle of righteousness. Now, the offensive weapon, instead of cursing people, you love them, you bless them, and you pray for them. The Bible says if you do that, you become more than overcomer. God will reward you. The reward of God is not to kill people. The reward of God is to bless you above anything. The more they embarrass you, the more you are lifted up. The more they reject you, the more you are blessed. The more the anointing, the more the grace in your life, from glory to glory.
And I really appreciate the person that asked this question, because I believe it's something that so many people take for granted. They say, okay, well, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Sin is no longer an issue for me. You know, I'm already walking with Jesus. But we have to understand that it's a daily battle. What's the daily battle? To
every second, to every moment.
Run from the temptation to sin. And it's true that we will not be tempted with something beyond what we can bear, but that temptation will always be there. If Jesus, who, imagine, he had just been proclaimed, you know, the Son of God, he had started his ministry, and immediately after that, he was tempted. So if Jesus can be tempted, definitely you and I can be tempted, and we will be tempted, and we are being tempted. So that's why this is an issue that is so important, because this is why Jesus came. Jesus came to destroy the work of sin in our lives. And that's why Jesus came. And we need to understand that it's not just something that we take for granted and say, okay, yes, it's over. But we actually need to realize that many people can say they're believers, but actually they can be controlled by satanic devices. Okay, what are satanic devices? Worry, fear, doubt, anxiety. These are satanic devices. And they can control so many people's lives, even people that say they believe in Jesus. Why? Because they've opened the door to sin in their lives, and that's how Satan comes in. And when Satan comes in with one thing, he brings all his companions. He can come in through offense. He can come in through anger. He can come in through jealousy. He can come in through envy. He can come in through any sin. And he can come in and take residence and begin to control us. So that is why, please, every day, reconcile your account with God. Don't let the sun go down on any sin in your life. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Make sure you reconcile your account with God every day.
So, sin has a signal, temptation.
Mm.
Temptation always comes first before sin comes.
Mm. It's a decision you need to make.
It's a decision.
Mm.
When temptation comes, Satan, the enemy, uses the situation to tempt us.
Mm.
Temptation is a presentation of the devil. Give you opportunity to choose earthly things rather than eternal things.
Temporary That's pleasure.
The way of the world instead of the way of God. Disobedience instead of obedience. He will give you temporary pleasure, anything that can distract you from the way of God.
Mm.
If something is not right, don't do it. How do I know it's not right? Follow the leading of the Holy Ghost in your heart.
Mm.
If something is right, he will lead you to do what is right in the sight of God every single day of your life. Romans chapter 8 verse 13. No one can say no. Can defeat Satan without the help of Holy Spirit.
Mm.
That's why you need to know the Bible. When you know the word of God in your heart, then temptation comes, the Spirit of God will tell you. In your heart, you will know it's not from God.
Mm.
And you say, no, I'm not interested. The person can appear beautiful, nice, but the heart said, no, because your heart is prompting you, and this is not the will of God for your life. So please, we should learn to listen to the testimony of our heart. That's the gift of righteousness. Holy Ghost will tell you, this is the right way, walk in it. This is my way, this is my will. We need to discern, we need to understand what conviction means in our heart by faith. When you have the Holy Ghost, he will help you. That's why he's here to help us to know, this is from God, this is not from God.
Mm.
So careful about sin. Sin can come in different way. When temptation comes, before you do, pray in your heart, and the Holy Ghost will help you. Because we have no willpower against sin. It takes the grace of God.
Yes, exactly. Sin is a spiritual thing. It's not for you to say, okay, I'm strong. I don't do that anymore. I don't have those thoughts anymore. I know the right thing to do. Sin is a spiritual thing. There's no power or self-will that can fight it. It can only be defeated through the strength of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. You can't say no to sin. You can't say no to temptation without the help of the Holy Spirit. And that is why when the word of God is in our heart, what happens? It keeps us from desiring sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the key, because it's one thing for us not to do something, but it's another thing for us not to have the desire to do that thing. I remember Prophet T.B. Joshua talked so much about this. He was saying in so many messages about how we say we've stopped smoking. We say we've stopped maybe the life of sin we used to live. But our heart is still doing those things. In our heart, we still lust after them. In our heart, we still want to do those things. So the key question is, how do we stop desiring those things in our heart? You know, he said that the major challenge is the problem of urge behind closed doors, urge for this, urge for that, urge for something which is not in line with God's word. And yet it exists as an urge, as something that we can't fight by ourselves. And where does that happen? In the heart. And that is where that true deliverance takes place. So whatever we do is a reflection of what's in our heart.
Protect your heart, because sin starts from the heart.
Mm.
That's why Jesus made sin even more powerful. Because he said, if you look at a woman in your heart, you want to have a relation with her, you are committed adultery in your heart. Sin starts with the heart. Negative thoughts, engineered. Thoughts of unrighteousness. When you have that, please reject it in the name of Jesus.
Mm.
Don't put them into action. Don't put them into word. And you overcome it day by day by the grace of God.
Let them die unborn.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that question. And yes, it is something that affects all of us. But thank you, Jesus. We have the victory through Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus came, to deliver us from sin and its penalties.
Sin is an enemy. It's an actual enemy. If you don't know your enemy, how can you guard against it?
Mm.
So the Bible says, watch and pray so you will not enter into temptation. That's what Jesus said. If you watch in the spirit, when temptation comes, the right answer will come and you will defeat it in the name of Jesus. So watch and pray. Take care of your heart. Don't allow your mind to sleep. That's the gateway of Satan, to attack you with negative thoughts, to cause you to sin against God.
Hmm. I like that, what you said. We'll leave you on that thought, you know. Sin is our actual enemy. But if we don't know our real enemy, how can we know how to fight that enemy? How can we know the weapons, the armor to put on to protect us from the enemy? Well, first of all, we need to know what the enemy is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can know to put on the right armor and we can know how to protect ourselves.
Thank you.
Someone asked the question, please explain about the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of discernment of other spirits.
Okay, the spirit of... Okay, can we go to Isaiah chapter 11 first? And then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 11 from verse 1. It's all about the Holy Spirit himself. Let's listen.
There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse,
mm-hmm.
and a branch shall grow out of his roots.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him,
mm-hmm.
the Spirit of wisdom and understanding.
The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. Go ahead.
The Spirit of counsel and might.
The Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might.
The Spirit of knowledge.
The Spirit of knowledge.
And of the fear of the Lord.
And the fear of the Lord. This means the knowledge we are talking about is a spiritual knowledge. Is a knowledge that demands revelation.
Mm.
We have carnal knowledge, sense knowledge, our mind, but the knowledge of the things of God is spiritual. It demands revelation. And revelation comes through the Holy Spirit. That's why Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 calls him the Spirit of Revelation. What is in the heart of God, in the mind of God for you, can only be known by discerning the truth from the Holy Spirit himself. He reveals what is in the heart of God. Go and read Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. He's the Spirit of truth. Now, the knowledge we are talking about, it comes by revelation through the Holy Spirit. When revelation comes, the next step, the Holy Ghost will help us to understand the meaning of the revelation. He works in our understanding, spiritual understanding. Means that truth needs to be discerned spiritually and understood the meaning spiritually by the help of the Holy Spirit. Once you understand, knowledge comes when understanding comes. If you say, I know something, you must understand. When you understand something, it is with you forever. When you understand it comes, your mind is renewed by knowing the will of God with the help of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that opens your heart to revelation. Is the one that opens your mind. Take note, heart and mind. Heart and mind. When I say heart, conscience is here. And this is your mind. The heart must be open. The mind must be open. When the heart is open, revelation is there, right? But the light of that revelation is come to this mind, understanding, to help you understand the meaning of that. If you speak in tongues or a strange dream come, Holy Ghost will tell you the interpretation here in the understanding. That only way you can understand the meaning of it. So, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, these are the works of the Holy Spirit. There are different levels of anointing. Each one is a specific anointing, which we see in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are the gifts that the Holy Spirit will impart in you. Words of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of revelation, word of prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you were Gentiles carried mm-hmm. away to these dumb idols, however you were led.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls mm-hmm. Jesus accursed.
Why?
And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
It takes revelation to know who Jesus is by the Holy Spirit. Continue.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all.
Right.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all.
Take notes. Yes. Go ahead.
For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit.
To one is given the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit to give you an utterance of wisdom that is the answer to a problem nobody would ever thought about it. Answer will come from your lips. And when you speak it, that's the answer. Everybody's, hey, this is the answer. It's Holy Ghost that gives you the wisdom, what to say and how to say it and when to say it. That's wisdom.
Hmm.
Because a word spoken in due season is wisdom. When wisdom comes, you can be silenced. That's wisdom. You talk when it's time to talk and how to speak it. Holy Ghost will give you that word of wisdom. Answer to solution. Judgment and answer. That's what Solomon did. When the two women came, began to fight. This is my son. This is my son. Okay. Solomon said, okay, take the baby. Let's cut it in two. That's the word of wisdom that causes your conscience to react immediately. It judges the intents of your heart and mind. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. Word of wisdom of Jesus. Immediately the conscience comes.
That wisdom that human thinking can't devise, it can only be from the Spirit of God, and that's why it brings that understanding.
That is it. That is God. So wisdom is a gift from God, gift of the Holy Spirit. Now knowledge is revelation knowledge. It's something you never knew before. Okay? Saul never knew the gospel. Jesus revealed to him the knowledge of the gospel. God can open it to your heart. If your mind is set, Holy Ghost will open the Bible and give you the explanation, the divine meaning of the Bible instantly in your heart. Knowledge. It will unfold the mystery of the Bible. What is behind the veil, He will reveal it to you. That's divine knowledge. It's power of Holy Spirit. He will tell you a truth, a hidden truth that nobody knows. He will just say it, and that's truth. That's the gift of Holy Spirit. So understanding is spiritual understanding. Job chapter 32 verse 8 said, Holy Ghost open our heart to see vision revelation. He open our mind for understanding. That's the work of the Spirit of God, to build truth. Truth needs to be discerned. Truth needs to be understood before it can be applied. In all this section, we need the Holy Ghost in our life every single day. That's why we don't read this Bible without Him. He's the Spirit of wisdom. He's the Spirit of knowledge. Don't read it carnally. Read it with an open heart, and He will tell you the meaning of this Bible. It will become spirit and life. That's why the Bible says, all this gift of knowledge, understanding and wisdom comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have inspired knowledge, revelation knowledge, and we are expression of it by words of wisdom, word of knowledge, when you speak the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is just the truth. The truth is God's position, God's mind, and God's will in the matter. How do I know it? Holy Ghost will give you utterances and speak it out. And He's the Spirit of truth. He will lead us into the fullness of the truth. Whatever He says will come to pass. If a true prophet speaks by the truth of God, it will come to pass because God has spoken.
And that's the difference between sense knowledge and revelation knowledge. Sense knowledge can be something we learn, something that we use our common sense to deduct, something that we can just say out of feeling or out of the senses. But when something is from revelation knowledge, it's actually revealed to us from the Holy Spirit Himself. That is what can bring change, transformation, solution, divine wisdom. And I think we underestimate the importance of wisdom. Wisdom is so essential in how to navigate this world that we live in. Jesus was full of wisdom. He spoke in different ways in different situations and to different people, depending on the motivation of each one's heart, because God revealed to him what was inside people's minds, inside their hearts. Like you mentioned before, you said that when the truth was ignored, when they were questioning him, and even asking him, what is truth? Pilate asked him, what is truth? And, you know, he was silent. Why? Wisdom.
I'm telling you, wisdom is the key to peace of heart and mind.
I think many people, from overzealousness, they can lack wisdom, and it can cause a lot of problems, a lot of misunderstanding, and a lot of hurt, actually, just because of lack of wisdom.
When you need wisdom, why do we need wisdom? That's the question. If everybody was righteous, we don't need wisdom. We need wisdom when you are related with people who are living outside the truth. When you meet unbelievers, people don't believe what you believe. People are contrary to what Jesus said. We need wisdom. If you are somebody that doesn't share the same faith with you, we have to live with everybody with the wisdom of God. You know how to apply. You know how to speak, when to speak, and how to talk, how to behave. David behaved wisely. Speaking wisely, behaving wisely, that's what Jesus wants us to do. That's wisdom. The purpose of wisdom is you can be in line, say the truth, and nothing, absolutely nothing, will come and hurt anybody, hurt yourself. Wisdom is the answer. So we need how to reply, how to talk, how to behave. And when you have wisdom, your enemy become your friends. When you have wisdom, solution comes.
Exactly. It's true, because you can know something is true, but how you communicate it can sometimes be completely wrongly interpreted. That is why we need the wisdom. We need the wisdom of the Spirit of God. That's why Christianity is a relationship with the living Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. It's not a religion. It's not a doctrine of religious philosophies or theological concepts. It's not that. We need wisdom. And how do we receive wisdom? We receive wisdom from God himself, from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, to know how to relate with unbelievers, to know how to navigate our everyday life. And I think many people, actually, we need to ask God for more wisdom in our lives.
Amen. The Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Jesus, he will give you wisdom from above.
Yeah.
If you have wisdom, your family, your marriage, your work, your colleague, everywhere, you have peace with everyone. Mm. And everybody will run to you for solution because of wisdom. You will never destroy relationship beyond repair if you have wisdom.
It's true. I think many relationships have been destroyed.
Lack of wisdom.
Many problems have emerged. Many wounds have been made through lack of wisdom. So I believe this question has highlighted the importance of asking God for wisdom.
You know that you cannot learn wisdom and knowledge in the books. Ask Holy Ghost, he will give you the gift from the Spirit of God. If you ask for it, he will give you wisdom from above, knowledge from above. He can give you if you ask him. Engage your heart and ask. These are the things we should pray for.
Exactly.
You should ask God in your prayer life to give you knowledge and wisdom, understanding his ways. These are the things we should pray.
Fear of God.
Fear of God. Mm. That's what God expects you to pray. Pray of righteousness.
Because that's the beginning of wisdom.
That is it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of doing evil. Want to do what is right. God will give you wisdom. When Solomon came and asked for wisdom, how to judge his people, God was happy and gave him what he has not asked. If you come to ask for money in your prayer, you don't have wisdom. Because Jesus said, don't ask for this thing. God is not blind. He knows you. When the time comes, he will locate you and give you.
God knows that we need these earthly things. He knows. And the Bible says in the same way that he takes care of the lilies of the field, that he takes care of the birds of the air, will he not more so take care of us? So we don't need to ask God for things which he knows we need. So, we need to actually work on our character, ask God, to the Holy Spirit, to produce in us the virtues of a holy character.
If you must speak, think first and pray before you speak. If you must act, be silent and pray before. I like Nehemiah for that. In the book of Nehemiah, when you read, Nehemiah's heart was burning to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And when the king saw, he was sad. The king said, why are you sad? He told him that the issue, that what do you want? Immediately, he prayed to God before answer. That's what I loved. Before you answer, pray to God to know his will. Always, before you do something, don't think we have knowledge and wisdom on our own. Carry him along. If you carry him along, you'll be surprised. Okay? You have a meeting in your company. Meeting. I'm talking about not spiritual thing, but a natural thing. You have a presentation, speaking to a committee. If you ask him for wisdom, you will surprise yourself. You will know the greatest engineer is Holy Spirit. The greatest manager is Holy Spirit. Go and see the way God instructed Moses to build the tabernacle. You will know God is an architect. He's a financial. He's a storekeeper. He's a manager. He knows better than you. Go and see the record in the Bible. So please, every gift we need, the anointing of the Spirit of God in our work, in our family, in every section of our lives. That's anointing of wisdom.
Amen.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for those questions. I believe that these questions have highlighted really key points that we can meditate over and really reflect on again. Please don't just watch this once. Go over the teaching. The full one will be on the app. For those of you who are subscribed to the Household of Faith, you can watch it there. And just to summarize, what have we learned today? Well, we learned that if we listen to the shepherd, we recognize his voice. And if we recognize his voice, we obey his voice.
That's why we have this app.
Please, this app is not selling business. The app is to help you to develop your relationship with God, to become mature in faith, maturity, to become a disciple of the Word of God. If the Word of God has no meaning for you, so no problem. If it has meaning for you, develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Faith is deep, deeper, deepest. Some people, they just come on Sunday. Okay, today we talk. Till next Sunday. But others say, no. After we finish sharing this message, they will go over it and begin to meditate, to practice it till next week. And that's where faith is.
Exactly.
That's where you recognize God's voice in your daily life.
Thank you. So, yes, recognize the voice of our shepherd and follow him. And don't listen to the voice of lies, the father of lies. Make sure you align your heart with the word of God so that your heart can listen and tune into the right voice. And not only listen, but act on it, obey it. And then we had the question concerning sin. Yes, it's something that no one likes to talk about, but it's very, very important. And I think we've discovered today that once you realize your actual enemy is not your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, anyone that is causing you problems. No, your actual enemy is sin. And once you know that sin is your actual enemy, then you will know how to guard your heart against it. Watch and pray lest you fall into temptation.
Let me give you one clue that will help you. Anytime you face a situation of temptation, a difficult situation, ask yourself, what would Jesus have done in this position? Just think about that. If Jesus were there in my place, how will he react? How will he speak? How will he behave? Just think about that. That is prayer. Because we are here to be like Jesus. We are disciples of Christ. We want to pray as Jesus prayed. We want to love as he did. Think about yourself. What would Jesus have done? And immediately the answer will come by the Spirit of God. So do everything with the Savior first in your mind. With Jesus first in your mind and heart. And the Holy Ghost will help you how to go about it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And then finally, wisdom. Ask God for wisdom to know how to navigate life in this world. We are in this world which is controlled by the evil one. And many times we see things that are against our conscience. How do we relate with people who don't share the same faith with us? How do we navigate our lives? We can only do it through wisdom. Given to us by the Holy Spirit himself. And remember, take this nugget home. In silence, the truth is revealed. The truth of the Holy Spirit.
So get ready.
Thank you.
Get ready. Get ready to see the love of God in your life. In Jesus' name. Amen.